Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Weirs Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis family situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at wvr.org. And now, without further delay, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, if you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. This is God's word. "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is the account. First, the chapter includes the story of the Sabbath, God resting from his work. Is that because he'd used up most of his energy? No. It was because he was done. He had completed it. He doesn't need rest. He simply takes his rest. He enters into it, and it's a beautiful thing, and then he gives that to us. And the Sabbath is a beautiful, important thing that God doesn't just offer to his people. He commands for his people out of love. We think, well, if he really loved us, why would he command it? Because he really loves us. The idea that a command is unloving is because of a demonic, rebellious spirit that is rampant in man going all the way back to the garden. More about that next time. But I want you to see that this chapter begins with the story of the Sabbath and then proceeds with this new account, this beautiful account of the creation of male and female. And a lot of people nowadays say, do you think it's really, literally true, or is this just kind of a myth? I mean, is this a wonderful, sweet, symbolic story? Well, I believe it is very literally true. And I believe that for several reasons. First of all, because that's the way Jesus presented it. That's the way that the apostles spoke of it. This is vital to our understanding of the new Adam, the second Adam, Jesus Christ. The first Adam blew it. The second Adam, Jesus, brings salvation. The first one brought sin. The second brings salvation. And so the idea of there being a single ancestor that all of us go back to is not only biblically sound, and I would say biblically vital, but it is clearly what this passage is saying. It doesn't just say long, long ago, far, far away. It talks about a place where this happened. And it gives geographic markers to give some sense of the area where it took place. And it says that all of us are ultimately descended from this fellow, Adam, and his wife, Eve. I would submit to you that not only is that true, but all of us are related through Noah. Oh, surely you don't believe in a universal flood. Surely I do. I believe that the Word of God is clear, matter of fact, and that people who have trouble with these truths from Scripture, it's because they don't really know the God of the Bible. Why is it hard for an almighty being to do what it says he did? Well, I just don't see how that could have been. I don't think the evidence is not. What evidence? We're looking at what God says about what God did, and I believe with all my heart that what he says is absolutely true, because God doesn't lie, and he doesn't mislead his children. So, what we're reading here is not make-believe, it is history. And there was a place that God had prepared for our first parents, and it was a marvelous place. The Lord God had planted a garden, verse 8, in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, now, I've never seen one like that. Well, no, and if you keep reading in the text, you'll find out why. They only grew in one place, and that was where God planted them, in the midst of this garden. And after Adam and Eve sinned by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were banished from the garden so they could no longer get to the tree of life. Because God didn't want us eternally in that fallen condition. He wanted to provide salvation through the second Adam. So, when we read this chapter, we find that man did not simply evolve from slime to amphibians to primate to finally Homo sapiens. No, apparently not. Instead, verse 7 says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God was personally, intimately involved in the creation, the forming, the making of man. And he made us out of dirt. Your body's made of dirt. The chemicals that make up your body in the amounts that are in there could be purchased rather inexpensively. Your basic body is a very simple collection of compounds that have been artistically and magnificently made into something utterly amazing. God took dirt, formed a man, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, if you told me you did that, I'd have a hard time believing you. But if you tell me God did that, I don't have any problem with that at all, because God's the one who made the planet and the solar system and the galaxy and the universe. He's the one who designed the whole thing. And anybody who looks at creation and doesn't recognize that there's a creator is deliberately trying to hide from the truth. There is no mistaking the fact that there is a creator who is very, very intelligent and artistic, and who in fact has all power. Now here's what I want you to know. First of all, God not only created everything, the universe, but God made people. Humanity is not some accident. Mankind is not something that just developed over space and time through random chance. God designed man to reflect his glory. And he designed us as male and female, and he said it's not good for the man to be alone. Now, are there some people who are called to singleness? Yes, definitely. We read the rest of the book, we find out about that. But the basic pattern and plan is that we belong together as male and female. And God looked at the man he'd made and said, it's not good for the man to be alone. And so he said, Adam, you need to start going out and meeting people and so forth. There weren't any other people. God made the perfect helpmeet for him from him. He took part of Adam's side and he formed from that, just like he had made man out of the dirt, he formed from man a woman. And he did it while Adam slept. Let me tell you guys, that should be an encouragement to you. He didn't hide him or hide her somewhere and say, okay, you got to go find her. He brought her to the man. And ladies, you need to realize God is able to do that for you as well. He can bring you together with the person that you're supposed to marry. I remember when one of my sons thought that maybe he was just going to be single the rest of his life. And my wife said to him, well, I guess if God wants you to marry, he can bring somebody here to the ranch for you to marry. And the next day, God did. I love it. I love it. Because it's not like God says, oh no, how will I ever get somebody there? That's a really remote area, you know. It's not a problem for God. We're talking about the God who created all things. You think he can't bring people together when he wants, where he wants, the way he wants? So, well, you have to get yourself out there. Why? You just do what God tells you. Just obey Him. Seek the Lord. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm afraid, you know, you have to, there aren't very good. How many people are you supposed to marry? You don't need 20 prospects. You just need the right one. God knows everything, every detail. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father's notice. He knows everything. He knows everything. So the idea that he doesn't have somebody for his child, this is a big deal. You're going to spend the rest of your life with this person. Why would God not care about that? Why would God say, well, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have time to play matchmaker. God is the matchmaker. Seek Him. Seek His will.
Folks, let me take just a moment to encourage you to go on the internet and visit the website of Ware's Valley Ranch. For over 20 years, the ranch has provided a loving home environment for children who have a problem that they did not create. It may be a health crisis on the part of a parent or even the death of a parent. Often, it's the death of a marriage, leaving a single parent struggling to care for the children while working one or more jobs to provide for their support. Sometimes, it's a parent who struggles with alcohol or drug addiction, or even a case where one or both parents are in prison. These children are not the problem. They're not delinquents. They're simply caught in difficult circumstances. I hope you'll help us provide these little ones with the opportunity for hope and healing in a Christ-centered environment. You may know a child that needs our services as well. Please visit WVR to learn more. That's WVR.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus
is. So, God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and said, I want you just to relax. Is that what it says? Now, this is paradise, remember. And it says in verse 15 of chapter 2, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Work is not a curse. It's a blessing. I would love to be in a position where I never had to earn any more money. But if you think I'd quit preaching when that day came, you know, oh, no, I'm sorry, I'm not available to preach. I've got plenty of money. As long as I have breath, I want to tell people about Jesus. My precious mother in her 90s, when she went in the nursing home, told me, you know, when I lived with you and your family, there was nobody there to witness to. Everybody was saved. She said, here, there are some wonderful Christians, but there are a lot of people who don't know the Lord. And she said, so one of the activities they do is they cut out letters from magazines, and then we get to arrange those letters to spell things. And that's something they do to try and keep our minds active. So she said, I spell out things like, God loves you, and Jesus died for you. And then I ask the other people, can you read that? You see, work, if it's done for the Lord, there's no end to that. Do we take a Sabbath? Yes. But we don't quit. Do we change careers? Perhaps. But we don't just stop working. Work is a blessing. It's a blessing from God. And in paradise, there was work. And in heaven, there will be work. There will be things for us to do. We'll have responsibility. It's going to be grand. So, God said you're to work it and take care of it. And he commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Now that seems simple enough, doesn't it? Now, if you were told that by the one who created you, Do you think that would motivate you to do the right thing? I would think so. Unless, of course, it was something that really looked good. How many of you, let's say within the last year, have done something that you knew you should not do? Can I see your hands? All of us know I should do this, but we don't. I should not do this, but we do. We all do that. Where'd we get that problem? Adam and Eve. We have a bent toward evil. They did not. But they sure did mess it up for us. Here at the end, beginning in verse 21, we have a beautiful, beautiful picture of marriage. When Jesus was asked about divorce, he took those who asked him right back to this passage. And he said at the beginning, God created them male and female. We said it yesterday, I want to repeat it again today. Those are the only two options. Male and female. Male and female. That's it. And it's good. And God said those two belong together. Our parts are designed for each other. Our personalities are designed for each other. Our gifts and strengths are designed for each other by God. It's a great plan. And out of that union is the capacity for new life. But tragically, there are people who, because of sin, living in this broken world, find that very difficult, frightening, traumatic, repellent. We need to have compassion for people who struggle with this. But we must be compassionate enough to tell the truth. The truth is God created us male and female. And his plan is that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, be joined to his wife. And the two, not the three, not the four, the two should become one.
Well, in the Old Testament, weren't there many people who had multiple spouses?
Oh, yes. There were also many murderers and idolaters and sorcerers and all kinds of other wicked things. Okay? Were there people who married multiple spouses? Yes. Was that ever in conformity with what God set out at the creation? No. And that's why in the New Testament we're told that the leadership in the church needs to be exclusively men who are the husband of one wife. Now I want you to understand something. God created it. It was beautiful. It was superb. And we messed it up. That's what's going to come in the next section. But here's the deal. In the midst of this world that is filled with beauty and brokenness, we need to know that God's plan is still perfect. For all of the failures of people to do things the way God says, it's not because God's plan isn't good. Because we're not good. And if you've been through situations that have messed up your desires and your feelings and all of that, it's not because God doesn't have a good design. It's because people like you and me mess up. But God's design is good. And you need to remember that and ask God to restore in you his perfect plan. And God will answer that prayer as you seek to do his will.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.